This morning, I'd like just to put everything into context of what's happened before the prophetic words have been spoken by men of God last century. When I was a teenager, my later teens, I went to a church where the soft signs, which you hardly see in any church. And the pastor had been converted at a Royal Brandon meeting. And he saw an amazing miracle. And as soon as he saw the miracle, he ran to the front of the church to get saved. So he carried an anointing, and so things would happen and take place in the church without him instigating or anything. You know, things would just take off. But William Branham, way back in 1933, God showed him seven things to come. And actually, you can go onto YouTube and you can actually find where he speaks about it. And this is the interesting thing, because sometimes prophetic words are given and people think he's crazy. Never that would be. Now, Branham, one of the things he got was, he said, I saw vehicles and they were like egg-shaped and there was no steering wheel and people were sitting in it facing each other just playing as the car went. That's 1933. Then you're looking today, what do you see? They're working on your autonomous vehicles so that you can go to sleep while the car takes you to your destination. You go to David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson, he was the early 70s, he had what's called the vision. And then his vision, well, he saw the state of the church in years to come with the pulpits, the church people who believed in the gay, the jet, etc. And people would, they were all shouting at him and telling him, these things will never happen. But one of the other things which he did speak about, which I want to bring us up to date on, is he spoke about Germany. And this is what he said. He said, Germany is going to collapse. And once Germany collapses, the contagion is going to Japan. And then from Japan, it is going to the USA. Now, I studied economics, so I'm always interested in looking at what's happening and finding out what's happening. And one of the things, especially over the last couple of months, I don't know how many times I have came across commentators speaking on the condition of Germany and Germany collapsing. And so you're looking at that. And of course, the collapse can take a while and gather momentum before anything real. Because so things can drag out for a good number of years. But the thing is, prophetic words are coming to pass. They're coming to pass at the same time. And you look at Europe and France within the next 2 weeks, the parliament is probably going to collapse. And the only person that can help France is basically the Germans, but the Germans are not in a good place to help. So we look there and we say, all these years ago, these prophetic words are given. And sometimes we forget them. We forget the prophetic words. And so what I want to do today is speak on some things for us to prepare. Because when we know what's coming, see, we live in a world, the Bible says, the God of this world rules. That means the financial systems of this world are ruled by the God of this world. And it means that all the systems that you look about, all your monetary systems, they're all controlled by some people somewhere. And systems come, systems go, currencies come, currencies collapse. Nothing lasts forever. Empires come, empires collapse. And so we're in these days where prophetic words are starting to take place. You keep your eye on Germany, because the prophetic word was specific for Germany. That's where the contagion starts. The rest of Europe is in a bad way as well, mind you. But Germany is a place that you keep your eye on. And one of the things which happens is that God shakes, because people tend to have their faith on the things of this world. People tend to have their faith on how much money they have, how much wealth they have, and they look to these things to meet their need. But the Bible says God is our source. The Bible talks about was it Isaac? In the time of famine, he went out and planted seed. So the ways of God go against the ways of the world. And when you come to the scripture, especially when you come to Genesis chapter 14, you read about Abraham. He's got a title called Melchizedek. And from memory, Melchizedek is King of Salem, King of Peace. And Abraham comes from the spoil, and Abraham gives 10% of all the spoil to Melchizedek. The interesting thing is, when Jesus came to the River Jordan to be baptized, at the River Jordan you had the Levitical priesthood. But at the River Jordan, a greater priesthood came. Because the Bible said Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. So, before the law, Abraham offers the 10%. When you go to the New Testament didn't give you a lot of detail, apart from telling you, be generous. But you're being generous, who are you being generous to? You're being generous to the one who's after the order of Melchizedek. So, but when in between these two, you have all the instructions given to Israel. And there's lots and lots of details, it's a long time since I went into this, so much detail, but there's three things that Israel were told, which is relevant for us, because all scripture is there for inspiration for the proof. It's there for your benefit. And so, we read in Genesis how Abraham gave a tenth of all his tithe, and how that Melchizedek was a great man. And the Bible tells us that he knew the living God, and he was recognized by Abraham as such. And the Melchizedek priesthood, which Jesus is after, is a greater priesthood. And it was that priesthood that blessed the Levitical priesthood before it came into being, when it was still in the loins of Abraham. And when he came, he spoke about the priest of the Most High God. The priest of the Most High God is a Gentile term which you find in Scripture. You go to the book of Daniel, it's always the Most High God. It's always a Gentile description, a Gentile. And so we have that just recognizing who Melchizedek is, and the priest of the Most High God. And then Psalm 83:18, it says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. That men might know that Jehovah is the Most High God, and he is over all the earth. And that is who Abraham was given the tithe to. And so as we go through the scripture, we find that in Hebrews it talks about, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, you're the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we join the baptism of the River Jordan, he must increase, I must decrease. And so, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham, etc. So, what's the importance of tithes? You're coming into God's system, and God's system is against the world. And God's system gives you provision when the famine comes and when the nations start to have problems and the currencies fail. Turmoil is coming. It's already there. It's people talking about it, they see it all in the markets. The turmoil is there. It's just how quick this unfold and collapse. So, what is important? Well, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which well some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Money's okay, but the love of money is not. Because money's not your source. God is your source. And see, we are people who want to pursue, like Moses, because the Bible says Moses knew the ways of God. If you know the ways of God, then you know how to get provision from God, because it's your source. The world looks for money. Many people in the world covet money. You've got all different organizations. You've got hedge funds, you've got organizations which stay secret, want to control things, control money. You have all that because that's the way of the world. That is the world in which we live in. But it's not God's way. You remember, it's like the children of Egypt. They came out of Egypt into the wilderness. The big problem with them is they couldn't get Egypt out of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can take a person out of poverty to give them lots of money. And there are people who have won the lottery with lots of money within a short time have lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't take poverty out of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it is not an economic issue. Once you understand money is not an economic issue, it's a spiritual issue. And it's the people's hearts being changed. You can give people all they want, but it doesn't take poverty out of people. People still stay in bondage. People still stay in that place where they don't know the freedom. So what? God can only bless an individual. God doesn't bless things. He blesses people.
Amen.
And so, like the testimonies yesterday of people getting new houses, of people getting new jobs, of people being blessed, their families being blessed, people with health in the families, all of these things. God is blessing people, he's not blessing things. But to bless people, God also looks to bring people into alignment with his work. Because he will not bless that which does not conform to his word. And so, we come to the tithe. And the tithe has two meanings. One is it's a tenth. But the other meaning of a tithe is it's a teacher. So there are things here which God has given to teach you so that you will prosper and you will be blessed no matter what's taking place in the world system. Now this text quite often is quoted from Deuteronomy 18, that God gives you power to get wealth to accomplish his purposes. So if you're going to do that, then there's got to be a process before God that you must go through so that he can know if he can trust you with the power to get wealth. And this process is to find out if you're faithful and trusted steward of the things of God. And as a tithe is a teacher, then you've got to learn what does it teach. Well, one of the first things that a tithe teaches, it teaches you to fear the Lord. Go to Deuteronomy 14:23. "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herd, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." So God said to the children of Israel, the fear of God is number one. How do you learn the fear of God? God says, you bring the tithe. So it's teaching you something. If you want the fear of God, this is how the children of Israel were taught how to get it. Now, when I talk about the fear of God, we're not talking about reverence. Reverence and the fear are two different things. The last scriptures in the Old Testament, New Testament, you've got the two words in the one verse. There are two different things. Quite often today, people, they keep talking about the fear of God as reverence, but it goes deeper than that. The fear of God is the fear of God. Anytime the angels of God came or entered the Old Testament, people fell on their faces. The fear came upon them. And I'll tell you something, if the presence of God, if you start to feel the presence of God, it will come very perfectly towards you. You start to get very uncomfortable. So the fear of God, and of course Proverbs 19:23 says, but the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And that those that have it shall abide satisfied, and they shall not be visited with evil. So if you've got the fear of God, it tends to life.
Amen.
You're satisfied and you're protected from evil.
Amen.
And so here we're given a secret in how to avoid evil. Because in this world, evil will always raise its head. Because there's a spiritual warfare, it's always going on. But those people will be raised up, and they will be wicked, they will have their plans, they'll have all their evil things that they want to do. The Bible says, but you'll not be visited with evil. You can be protected in the midst of all the evil by the Lord.
Amen.
And so we're given this secret, and it provides two options to us. To be in a place and environment where there is constant conflict, and evil is never far away, or go to you where evil cannot touch you, or where he cannot come in. And where he cannot come in, there's places, one of the other stations given, you go up the mountain, and you go past the tree line. Once you go past the tree line, the snakes are no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go up the mountain, and you've gone to the higher place, empty past that, you're coming away from where you have adversaries.
Amen.
They dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
So there's a place of abiding, there's a place to be there. And of course that place is wisdom. And wisdom requires the fear of the Lord. Now notice what that scripture says. You get life, you're satisfied, and no visitation of evil. And that's important to have that knowledge. And we've got to have that knowledge, not just in the head, but in the heart, and to bring them together and to understand the fear of the Lord. Why the fear? Because it's an environment where you attract the attention of God. The fear of God is an environment if you want to attract the attention of God. And the Bible is telling you, you give of your tithes to get the fear of God. And you get, so it attracts the attention of God. The Bible says God looks to them and fear him. And he will reveal to them his secrets. He will show them his covenants. The Bible also says in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. That's protection. You're getting kept from evil. The Bible says, in that same chapter, no word to them that fear him. Also further on in Psalms, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. So the fear of the Lord is important for the children of God. Because a lack of fear means there's a lack of respect. There's a lack of honor. When you do not have the fear of God, it causes people not to have commitment. If you do not have the fear of God, it causes people to be casual about their ministries or giftings, about coming to church, about doing things. So we can look at people, you can look and see what they're doing and how they're living, you can say, there's a lack of the fear of God. Because it causes people, fear causes people to rebel against God's authority. It causes people not to take instruction. And so the Bible is telling us, you're in this world, but if you want to have the protection of God and to be in that place just like Isaac, when there was famine, he still sowed his seed. and you got the harvest. See, God's ways produce even when the world's ways is crumbling apart. And so where there's a lack of fear, there's a lack of wisdom. And where there's a lack of wisdom, you become susceptible to evil and poverty. Now you take, the Bible talks about Paul saying, a desire above all else that you prosper even as your soul prospers. That's the way you think. Look, listen to what King David asked in Psalm 119:38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. David is saying, I'm devoted to your fear. I'm devoted. And so it is an important thing. And what do we want? We want the fear of God, because we want to walk in the statutes, and we want to walk under God. We want to walk in paths of righteousness and truth. So the fear of God is number one. But the Bible says, the tithe also teaches you another thing. It teaches you about honour. Proverbs 3, reading from verse 39. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And of course, if God's going to correct, there's going to be a process. Because we want to come before the Lord with a spirit of excellence. Now, many years ago when I had done a lot of more detail into the Old Testament giving and all the things for it, I was with my brother-in-law who's got a church in Denmark. And basically I said to him, people can give. I said, but if they don't give it in a spirit of excellence, but it's just like, he said, you don't get a blessing. If you're casual and just giving, people are not getting a blessing. Because God looked for you to come to lift things up to him, and he looked for you to give it in a spirit of excellence for him to receive it. Because you've got to acknowledge who he is. He is the Most High God, above and over the heavens, over the earth. And so there is this place where we don't want to come before the Lord casually or haphazardly, because you may as well forget it. You've got to come to this place to recognize, who am I serving? And you've got to recognize, he is high in the heavens. He is holy, he is righteous. And without the shed blood of Jesus and the righteousness that covers me, I could never stand in his presence. And even with the covering of Jesus, with his presence comes, I could end up being terrified, because the fear of God is such. Because he's holy. An enemy that's not holy burns in his presence. And then people say, why can God just accept me and take me in? Because you can never be in the presence of God when you're unclean and you're unholy, because it would be torment to you. We can't stand in the presence of a holy God without the covering of the blood of Jesus. It's impossible.
Amen.
And so the Lord, excellence means putting every effort into your presentation. You're coming to recognize who he is, and you are coming to honor him in everything that you do. And you lift up his name. And it means that you don't come empty-handed, and it means that honor is to lift up to the Lord. But here's the thing. We can be in different places, and we might decide, I want to honor the Lord. And you maybe expect immediately his benefits, but instead of his benefits, what you find is correction. Because you must realize, any time God wants to bless you, he wants to bless that which is right. He's not wanting to bless you in the state that you're in. He wants to bless you in a condition that you are right with him, and his blessings will flow. And that means we do not come to offer empty handed. We come to lift him up, and we expect benefits. We get correction. But once the correction comes and we are obedient, we take instruction, because God cannot bless that which is out of order. But once We take instruction and come into alignment with His word, the blessings of God flow. And the love that God has for us to experience as a power to get well must be the same commitment that He has to us. And one of the things, you have a definition, because people always wonder about well, but a definition for us is enough of God's provision to accomplish a divine appointment.
Amen.
You were provisioned for a divine appointment. You don't need anything else. The great thing we learned about Moses, he could get what he needed when he needed it. Divine appointments. So, here's a question. What is important? What you give or have you given? So what's the most important thing? What you give or how you give? So you've got the tithe teaching people to fear. The tithe also was there to teach the people to honour. But there's a subcategory for us today. It teaches you to worship. In Deuteronomy 26:10, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. So you bring it, and because the tithes are teaching you, you bring it to worship the Lord. And then John tells us that God is a spirit, and them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus is the truth. He is the way, He is the life, He is the truth. So when we come to worship, we are coming to lift up the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When we're coming to worship, we're coming to lift up the Lord. And this is a big challenge because not everybody gets into worship. And not everybody understands the importance of worship. But when you come, you should come with the mindset, I am coming to worship. That's one of the things that the tithe teaches you. So when we worship, we're lifting up the Lord, we're exalting Him. And then, of course, that's the approach to God. It's the approach of the creature to the Creator. Coming before the Most High God. It is one who has been redeemed by the Redeemer, the sacrifice of the Son of God in Calvary. It is one of a sinful person entering into a holy place when we come to worship the living God. And the Bible talks about the host of heaven being around the throne of God with songs. And they sing a new song, just a similar thing we said today, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. No one else is worthy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Jehovah is worthy, the Most High over all the earth. For thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And the Bible tells us that the angels all fall down and worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells us how to fear of God, worship. It tells us one other thing which is important. It teaches us it's a weapon. It is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 3:8 says, well, a man robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? So if we understand that we are stewards of what God gives us, we're not just stewards of the finances, we're also stewards of the truth that are in the word of God. We are stewards.
Amen.
But the Bible says, if you understand that you're a steward, then you understand that God is the source, God is the provision, and God is the owner of all things. And therefore, when they talk about the tithe, but it's getting to this place. I remember from some of my earlier studies, we're talking about this, to get the blessing to flow, you always had to give over an increase to God. to start to see the blessings starting to flow, etc., etc. But understanding that God is our source, because when sooner or later, when all these currencies are collapsing and people are unemployed and the things are falling apart around you, because currencies are flat. If you study it, Germany had a major one in the 1920s. That's why they were always very conscious of being fiscally constrained. And then, of course, in the EU, that changed a lot. But so we understand that it becomes a bit a weapon, because the Bible says the tithe has the ability to destroy robbers and thieves. So God, when he's given the instruction to the children of Israel, said it has the ability to destroy those who come to rob you and the thief that comes to steal from you. And he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's possible for you to be your own worst enemy and not take instruction from the Word of God. As I said, Genesis, well, Melchizedek, I just talked about giving. The laws of Moses have a lot with tithing and all the different stuff. It's obligations. But some of the obligations is if you don't give, then you're going to have to give plus interest. But when you come to the New Testament, it's out of the abundance of your heart. But what you're doing is you're learning from the Old Testament. You're learning. It will help you to feel the Lord. It will help you to worship. And it will be able to use it as a weapon. And these are the things that we want to catch today. So instead of using the power of the tithe to that which opposes you and becomes opposition, you want to understand the blessings that come. And God blesses. Now, one of the things always to the men, if God blesses and you complain, then what are you doing? You're defiling what God gives you. And you don't want to defile what God gives you, because then you'll not have any blessings. See, God is very, very particular. We don't want to defile any blessing. We want to give God his honor, give all the praise, all the thanks, and all the glory to him. To understand why that is true, is because it has the ability to destroy, is due to God calling it holy. If God calls it holy, then it has the ability to destroy if you mess with it. Leviticus 27:20 says, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast and of the field of his possession, shall he be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. And of course, devoted is that which you set aside and dedicate to God. So that which is set aside and dedicated to God is most holy. And so we are in this place where we've got to be careful how we handle things, because we want God to have the honor and the glory. And we want to be able to use these things as weapons. And these things get used as weapons when everything's collapsing around you. When economies collapse, unemployment's hitting the roof, inflation's everywhere, people are struggling to survive. God says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world.
Amen.
You're in the world, but if you follow my instructions, and obey my instructions, and go my way through my word, in the midst of the calamities, you will be protected.
Amen.
And it's amazing. Because we look around, and people can easily start to worry and be concerned and all sorts of things. But see, once you start to ground yourself in the Word of God and what God says, and what God has revealed to the children of Israel, this is easily applicable to us. Fear of God, learning the fear of God, learning how to worship, and learning how to use the tithe as a weapon for our benefit. So in summary, when God said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 18, he said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth. He giveth it to you that you might have power to get wealth. God just needs to draw a little thought into you, and all of a sudden you can have one of the best business plans. Because he gives you the power. But you see, he didn't give it for any reason. He gives it to establish his covenant on the earth. He wants to demonstrate through you and I, when the world is falling apart, they'll say, how are you surviving? You can say, covenant of God.
Amen.
He's good. He protects me in this evil time. He provides for me. And you're using things as a weapon. And so, the process is revealed by what the tithe teaches us. It teaches us to fear the fear of God, to honor God, to worship God, and that the weapon that brings blessing.
Amen.
So that we might have power. And God has never changed. And that always has to be a generation that rises up, that takes hold of what God has said, and then runs with it. But what you tend to find is people is getting started on that journey. But trust the word of God, stand in the word of God, look for the leading of the Spirit. Because God's plan is to have honor and glory where the world is collapsing around and you're shining bright. And so we're in these days where pay attention, as I said. Keep looking at Germany, big trouble. How long will it take before there's a complete meltdown? These things can be dragged out for a long time. But be aware that that is a prophetic word. Just like the prophetic word in 1933 to William Branham, there's going to be cars. And of course, in 1933, he didn't have exit cars. Way back then, people said he's bonkers. You've got the man who started Teen Challenge. There's a revelation. There's going to be an economic collapse of severity that you have never known. And when it starts, it's going to start in Germany. So we see the cars coming, we don't have steering wheels, and we see the beginnings of collapse in Germany. So you want to put your stake in the ground, stand on the word of God, because this is a time that you've got preparation time. Might be short, but you've still got preparation time to stand on the word of God, believe in God's word, and come into alignment with God's word, so that you will be a testimony for God in the days ahead when everybody else will be running like headless chickens.